All right, we're holding Ches Amud Aleph, the Mishnah. Okay, we're holding Ches Amud Aleph, the Mishnah. So we learned from the previous Mishnah that you have cases where a woman has to, we know that a woman has to bring a korban after she gives birth. There's also, by the way, and we're also going to be talking about, now we talked yesterday in the Gemara about a zav, a male who has a certain kind of emission, where if he had three of them, he has to bring a korban. But you also have a woman, a zava, where she has an emission of blood outside of a normal menstrual cycle. As we're learning the fact that Nidibas Hashem is during a particular 11-day period, then if she has, if that happens for three or more days consecutively, then she's called a zava gdola, and then she needs then she needs to also count 17 days, and then she needs to bring a korban.
Is there an equivalent of a man, it's a discharge of not blood, but it's...
No. So the difference is, by a man, as we're going to actually talk about this in the Gemara, by a man you have the normal discharge of Shechvas Zera, and then there's the abnormal one of Ziva, which is similar but slightly different. By a woman, you have Dam Nida and you have Dam Ziva. They're both blood. They're both uterine blood. There's no, we're going to learn in Nida, there's an opinion that says they actually come from different places, and there's an opinion that they all come from the same place.
Even though she can have other types of discharge.
Right. So we'll learn in Nida that there are different colors in. Okay. Anyway, so the point is that you have a woman gives birth and she has to bring a korban, and then you have a woman is a Zava and she also has to bring a korban. So, suppose that a woman has five times of a suffix whether she gave birth. So she miscarried five times, and each time we're not sure whether what she miscarried was something that makes her chayiv, as we refer in a korban, as we said yesterday, or the suffix hazivis. She has five times when there was a doubt whether she was a zava or not, which could be, Rashi says, for example, let's say she had 3 days discharge in a row, but she lost track whether it was in the days of her nidus or the days of her zivus. As we learned in Erechin, you have a period of 7 days and then a period of 11 days. And it can happen that she gets mixed up which one she's in, and therefore she has a discharge 3 days in a row, and she's not sure if therefore she's a nidur or a zivus.
Is there also a case about this being separation of those?
There is a machlokas between the Rambam and almost everybody else, whether after the 11 days are over, whether the 7 days begin immediately after, or whether the 7 days of Nida begin only the next time she has a flow of blood. We'll talk about that more in the Sefer Nida, Beis Hashem. But the point is that it can happen, or that she has a suffix. So the din is now, those are two of the categories in Mechusar Kapara. In order to be able to ever eat Kodshim or go into the Beis Hamikdash again, she needs to bring her Korbanos, an Ola and a Chatos. Well, the din is Mevia Korban Echad. She only has to bring one set of Korbanos, so two birds, one Ola and one Chatos, V'Echelos Bezvachim, and then she can already eat Korbanos. The Eina Shara Le'achoyva, the other ones are not an obligation on her. Given that the whole thing came about because of a bunch of Sveikas, then she's not obligated to bring separate Korbanos for each one. She can bring one set of korbanos, and that covers all of the suffix. Only most of the mafreshim say, though, we're talking about it'll only cover within the suffix of one type. So if she has a suffix birth and suffix zivus, she is going to have to bring a separate korban for each one of those. One for the births and one for the zivus. But within each category, one korban will cover all the suffix. On the other hand, hey zivus vadois for hey ladus vadois. What if she had five definite zivus or five definite births? Then via korban echad by chalos bezvachim. Still, same din is that she can bring only one out of the korbanos. In this case, obviously it's a vadai, for the korban on the chatos is going to be eaten, unlike in the case of the chatos suffix. At that point, she's able to eat korbanos, but v'hashar le'achoyva. But the other ones are still an obligation. And so in the first case where it was a suffix, in fact, Rashi says it's not an obligation on her to bring the rest. The Chachamim don't even want her to bring the rest of them. Because it's one thing to bring one chakas to oifal a suffix. How do you even bring a chakas to oifal a suffix? Isn't it pulling bazara? But fine, the Gemara learns from Sukkim that you're supposed to do that. But you only do that once. You're not going to do that again and again. On the other hand, in this case, where there were five definite births or five definite zivus, then...
Are we just taking number five?
Number five just means an indefinite. Yeah, that just means that the Mishnah often uses five as just an indefinite large number. Yeah, like in English, we might say a few. Yeah. Okay, so in that case, so she had five definite births or five definite zivus. Mevia korban echad. She also only has to bring one of the korbanos in order to be able to eat kodshim. At that point, then she'll be mutter to eat korbanos. But I don't know. I'll tell you that the other ones remain an obligation on her. She still eventually does have to bring the other ones, unlike in the case of the staking, the four other ones, unlike in the case of the staking, where we're saying that she doesn't bring the other ones because as it is, like, okay. Don't, because as it is, the suffix, in this case, she doesn't have to bring the other ones.
That's okay. Right, sir.
Yeah. So, however, the Mishnah tells a story. Maisa sha'omdu kinin b'yoshalayim b'dinar zal. One time it happened that the price of a kin, which is so a kin means a pair of birds, because as we're going to learn at the beginning of the next parak, when you bring birds, whenever you're obligated to bring birds as a carbon, you always are bringing a pair of carbonas. You never bring, as an obligatory carbon, you never bring one single bird. Unless as we're going to say over there, you have a case where it's accompanied by an animal, but you never have one bird with nothing else. So a kin usually means two birds. So in this case, because the word kin means a nest, so it's the more standard term for a pair of birds. Yeah. And when we learn this after kinim, next month, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to be talking about that. Okay. So anyway, so in this case, the price of pairs of birds, and actually Rashi says kinin means in the plural, so there were that the price of two pairs of birds, so four total, was the dinar zahav, added up to a gold dinar, which is a large amount of money, much more than they should usually be. What happened? He had a lot of women who needed to bring carbonus, and therefore the merchants were jacking up the prices. Amr of Shimon ben Gamliel, so Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, and this is not, now usually in Shas, the Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who we have, is usually the father of Rebbe. But that's not this one, because he lived after the Korban. The Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the father of Rebbe. This is that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's grandfather. He's usually counted as one of the Asar HaRugei Malchus. Historically, it's not so clear whether he was actually killed. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. They're both called Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. But you have the first one, you have the second one. You have the first one, the son of Rav Gamliel HaZakin, who lived when the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. He's usually counted as one of the Asar HaRugei Malchus, which would imply that the Romans executed him. There are some historians who claim that maybe not. He may have died or been killed by the Biryonim or whatever during the siege of Yerushalayim before the Churban. But whatever. Anyway, the point is, he didn't survive the Churban at any rate. But so here, this is one of the rare places in Shas where we have him mentioned. Anyway, so he says, Hamoin hazeh, I swear by this moin, which means by the, which is, as Rashi says, the Lashon Shavura. So either it means by the Beis Mikdash, or Marshon Ksubis said, they have a similar expression there, Hamoin hazeh, rather than Marshon says that he made them swearing by one of the heavens. The Gemara in Chagigah tells us there's seven heavens, and one of them is called moin, whatever, he's swearing that, loy olin halayla, I will not go to sleep tonight, ad shayyeh b'dinyin, until the price goes down to silver dinar. Now there are 25 silver dinar. This is Gemara. The Gemara, because that's what it is. Right now we're saying that it's gold dinar. And in fact, you have a Gemara in Bava Basra that brings this Mishnah also to discuss the question whether there's a difference in terminology between dinari and dinarin. And the Gemara over there brings our Mishnah where he says dinarin, implying that he means silver ones, right? As opposed to dinari would be gold. So like this, he's saying, like this, the cost of two pairs of birds is a gold dinner, which is a huge amount. I swear that I'm not going to go to sleep tonight until I get it down into the dinners, into the silver dinners. So how does he do that? Besoif nichnas lebeistin. So he went into the beistin. He went into the Lushkat HaGazit, or wherever the Sanhedrin was sitting at the time. The limit, and he taught the following halacha. If a woman has given birth to five definite babies, which she has to, therefore, as we said, bring five korbanos, or she had five times ziva, the din is, she has to bring only one korban for the five of them, then she can eat korbanos, which so far is, as we said before, but then the ein hashar aleha choiva, the other ones are not an obligation. Now, what does he mean by that? We just said before they are an obligation on her. So what's going on over here? And in fact, I mean, when we said before, we had before the machloikas, the Shammai and Basil about it, both the Shammai and Basil seem to be accepting that whenever you have a separate birth, as we had the machloikas if it's on the 81st night, whether she has to bring another one, but they both agree in principle that when you have, each time you have a birth, you need a carbon. So what is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel saying over here? So one explanation, so there's two major explanations. Rashi explains it was an example of Eis Lasis Lashem. It's an example of where the Chachamim are given the authority to temporarily override what it says in the Torah. So not that he's saying permanently it's never going to be Hashar Aleha Choyva. temporarily he said this din in order because in order to lower the prices. Because otherwise, what's going to happen? Nobody's going to want to pay a gold din or half a gold din or whatever. I said it's an exorbitant price. Whatever it is, the point is that it's a large amount. The result is going to be, therefore, women are not going to bother bringing the korban at all, and then they're going to be in mechutz kippurim. If they ever eat korbanos, they're going to be chayav karis. So to avoid that, according to Rashi, Rav Shem Gamliel made this takana.
Who made that amount of one gold dinar?
That's the merchants were charging a gold dinar. I don't even know who made the amount. The merchants were charging. The people who sold birds. So now Rav Shem Gamliel by saying... So now Rav Shem Gamliel is saying that she won't have to bring the rest of them. So again, Rashi is explaining. It's not that he's saying from now on there's a new halach. He's saying temporarily, but nevertheless, that caused the prices to drop. On the other hand, so that's one explanation. The Raavad agrees with that. The Rambam, on the other hand, learns not. The Rambam apparently understands that Rav Shimon Gamliel is actually arguing with the Shammai and the Solo, which fine, he's entitled to do that. He being a Tana, he can argue with them. So he's saying, I disagree. I hold the halacha is that she only has to bring one, and then she doesn't have to bring the other ones later on. So either way, what happened was, on that same day, the price of pairs of birds, because now there's so much less demand, so demand goes down, the price goes down.
Well, then
you have supply and demand, right? The supply stayed constant, but demand...
That's
how it is. In this case, the demand was high, so therefore the merchants were jacking up the prices. Now, like this, the demand went down, so therefore now you were able to buy two kinim for a half a silver dinar. So the price went down to 1/100th of what it had been. 1/100th of what it had been. Because before it would take two gold dinners to buy this, and now it took a half a silver dinner, which is 1/100th of that. It actually brings another explanation that Rivasayim means a half. So there's different explanations of what exactly Rivasayim means, and does it mean that one set of birds went for a quarter of a dinner, or does it went for a half a dinner, whatever. The point is the price dropped dramatically because of what Rav Shimon Gamliel did. By the way, you have a halacha that comes out of that in Shulchan Aruch. Now you have two famous sforim of Shailas HaTorvos called the Tzemach Tzedek. We have the one that we all know, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. But then before, 100-odd years before him, there was another Tzemach Tzedek. His name was also Rabbi Nachman of Krochmal. He was a contemporary of the Shas. No, it was before Chassidus. He lived 100 years, the Rabbi Nachman of Krochmal lived 100-odd years before, 150 years before the Tzemach Tzedek, before the Lubavitcher Tzemach Tzedek. His name was also Rabbi Nachman Mendel. So he also wrote a Sefer of Shas. So he wrote a Sefer of Shalos HaTrovis, which is also called Tzemach Tzedek. So you have that when they refer to Tzemach Tzedek, sometimes they refer to him as Hakadmon, the earlier one, to distinguish him from the later one. Anyway, the point is, the earlier Tzemach Tzedek, right, he lived in Poland, I think. He lived in Poland. He was a contemporary of the Shach and the Taz, the mid-1600s. Anyway, so he writes a halacha. In his time, there was a period of time when the Goyim were jacking up the price of fish, because they knew Jews like to have fish for Shabbos, as they're supposed to, it's part of Oneg Shabbos, so they figured they can jack up the prices, and the Tzemach Tzedek, HaKadmon, said on the basis of our Mishnah, same idea, boycott them. You won't have fish for Shabbos? Doesn't matter. Just like Rav Shimon Gamliel saying over here, temporarily we have to change things in order to get the merchants to drop their prices, the same thing. The Magen Avraham in turn brings that, and the Alter Rebbe in turn brings that in Shulchan Aruch.
The Rebbe said about people want to sell houses.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a different thing. Selling houses to Goyim doesn't matter. But
Not to Goyim. To buy them from the Goyim and try to jack the price.
Could be. I'm not familiar with that, but okay. All right. So the Gemara says, Tanan Rabban. Hey, ladies, vada, hey, zivis, sofik. If the woman has, suppose the woman has five definite births and five suffix births, oy hey latest vada the hey latest suffix, or the other way around, five definite births and or not the other way around, five definite births and five definite and five suffix births.
The suffix would be,
she's not sure with what she gave birth to makes her chayav. We learned in the previous Mishnah and in the Gemara on it, or two Mishnahs ago, whatever, on Zion of the Bays, that you have, for example, if she miscarried something that looks like a fish, for example, then she doesn't have to bring a korban yeletis, but if she miscarried something that looks like an animal, then she does. So therefore, it can be that she miscarried something and we're not sure what the shape of it was, for example.
Try to find an animal?
Yeah, try to find it. She miscarried a misformed baby that looks like a mother. Okay. So the point is, so suppose she had, there's different explanations and different due stories over here, whether we mean that she has five definite births and, whether we're saying that's definite births and suffix zivos, or whether it's one or the other, whatever. Anyway, Mevia Beis Kinin, she's going to have to bring two sets of birds, achas ala vade and achas ala suffix, one to cover all the vade cases, one to cover all the suffix cases. So again, one way of explaining is that we're talking about only because they're separate, Ladus and Zivus, only then does she have to bring a separate carbon for each one. But there you have some of the Mephoshim say that if it was some Ladus Vade and some Ladus Suffolk, she wouldn't necessarily need a separate carbon for each one. The one for the Vade would also cover the Suffolk. Okay. Shall Vade Nechelis, the one that she, in this case, where you have a Vade and a Suffolk, then she needs one to cover the Vade and one to cover the Suffolk. Even though there's a few of them, well, shal vadei nechelas, the one that she's bringing for the vadei case, that the chatos of it the koyanim eat, because that one's being brought, because he's definitely chayiv in it, and therefore the koyanim are allowed to the koyanim are allowed to eat it. Yes, that's we learn that a chata, usually you don't bring a korban for a suffix. However, the Gemara explains in the Sefer Nozir learns from Sukkim over there that when you have a case of chata sa'oif, you still bring it ala suffix, even though it's only a suffix. The koyanim can't eat it again because it's malika has to be done to it, and if it's kolin, then you call it not only kolin ba'azara, but malika was done and therefore it's nevela. But nevertheless, it's sort of the equivalent of an oshem tovi, sort of the equivalent of the same way a person is not sure if they ate chaleb or broke Shabbos or what have you, they have to bring an oshem tovi to be on the safe side, the same way over here, they have to bring the chatas on the side.
When it's burnt, because it gets burnt afterwards?
So in that case, well, what they do actually with a chatas ha'oif, a ba'al ha'sofet, we learned actually at the end of Tmura, we had a machloikus about it, whether you burn it, or not on the Mizeach, you burn it outside with Sulam Akrush and go, or whether Rabbi Yehuda had said that you cut it up into limbs and throw it into the water channel that runs through the Azara, and then it gets swept out with the water out to Nachal Kidron and gets buried there. Because he holds that Sulam Akrush of that type have to be buried. Kulin Shinishka to Azara rather have to be buried. Anyway, so in this case, again, so she has one set of Vadais and one set of Sopik. And therefore, so she has to bring two sets of birds, one for the vadai, one for the suffix. Shal vadai nechelos, the one she's bringing for the vadai, birth or ziba, as the case may be, nechelos, that one, the koyanim can eat the chatas, because it was brought properly, v'ashar alei achleva, the other ones remain an obligation on her, because after all, they were definite births or definite zibas. On the other hand, shall suffix a nechelis, the ones that she brings for the various sveikis, that the koyanim don't eat the chatas, as we just said, the ena shara le'achleva, and the other ones are not an obligation on her because the whole thing is a suffix, and in fact the chachamim don't want her to bring the other ones because then you're bringing more chatois on suffix that are not necessary, and you might be bringing cholin into the azara. So Shita Mukubetis brings over here one of the Girsois that only were from a Tosfos that says only when you have that the definite ones were birds and the suffix was ziva or vice versa, only then are we saying that she'd have to bring two sets of birds. But if, for example, some of them were definite ladas and some of them were suffix ladas, then she only has to bring one because they're both in the same category. They're all birds, just some vada and some suffix. As opposed to the Girs that we have in front of us in the Gemara, which is either way she'd have to bring two.
Which is Vade
and Suffolk, even if whether it's a Vade and a Suffolk of the same type or of different types. Okay. Rabbi Yechin Ben Nuri says like this, Al Vadai, when she's bringing one carbon for a number of cases where there was a Vadai, birth or Vadai or Vade Ziva, Tomar, she should say, Al Hachroina, she should say that I'm bringing this carbon to cover the last one. And that accomplishes Viti Potter, then she's Potter, not, now Rashi learns, doesn't mean she's Potter from bringing the other ones. Rabbi Yechon Manuri doesn't argue that the other ones are still a chayv on her. Potter in the sense, like we said in the Mishnah, at that point she'll be able to eat korbanos. At that point, once she took care of the last one, then she's able to eat korbanos. At some later point, she's going to have to bring the other ones.
But she's not allowed to eat until she's actually...
Right, because she's Mechusa Kapara, right. Shall suffix, on the other hand, as far as the ones that she's bringing for the suffix, says Rabbi Yechon Manuri, im yesh vadei b'nehin, so if there's not only sveikus, but there also is a vadei of the same type as a suffix, so let's say, for example, she had a bunch of suffix zivos, and she also had one vadei ziva, But then fine, Tomer ala Vade Bati Potter, then when she's bringing the korban, she should say, I'm bringing it on behalf of the Vade one, whether that happened to be the last one or not, and then that's good. Bati Potter, and then she's Potter, and here Rashi says Bati Potter means she's completely Potter from bringing all the other ones, because the other ones are only because of suffering. That's Rashi's explanation.
Why is she bringing one on one then?
Well, so that's what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, that if there was one Vaday and a bunch of Sfeikas, he says once she brings the one for the Vaday and says it's for the Vaday, then that's it. She's Potter from all the Sfeikas ones. She doesn't have to bring a separate one, because Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, when would she have to bring separate ones? Only if they were of two different types, Vaday of Bruce and Sfeik of Ziva, or vice versa. But where they were Vaday and Sfeik of Bruce, or Vaday and Sfeik of Ziva, then she was entering. The imlav, and if not, if there's no vade among them, Tomer alechad man, then she should say that she's bringing this korban on behalf of one of them, one of the sfeikas, doesn't matter which one, even the first one, Viti Potter, and then she'll be Potter from the other ones. Okay, that's all Rabbi Yechem and Nuri. Rabbi Akiva says no. Bein ala vade, bein ala sfeik, whether she's bringing the korbanos for a bunch of vadeis or for a bunch of sfeikas, Tomer alechad man, Viti Potter. It's enough she's saying that she's bringing it on behalf of one of them. She doesn't have to say I'm bringing it on behalf of the last. And then Rashi takes out the word Bati Potter over here by Rabbi Akiva, because what would it mean? It can't mean she's Potter from the other ones, because with the Vadai, as we said in the Mishnah, she's not Potter from the other ones. And it can't mean that she's not Potter from the other ones, because in the case of the Sophic, she is. It's one thing with Rabbi Mefoshim Aswain. It's one thing with Rabbi Yechon Ben Nuri. He uses the word Bati Potter twice, once by the Vadai, once by the Sophic. So we can say it has different meanings in each case. But Rabbi Akiva is only using the word Potter once. So therefore, it can't. What would it mean? So therefore, Rashi takes it out. With that said, you have other. So Rabbi Akiva is just saying that she doesn't have to say davka. It's for the last one, whichever one she says it's for, it doesn't matter. There were five chomish later. There were five latest vadoyas, for example. She could be saying, "I'm bringing this on behalf of the first one." It's just as good, and not the other ones in the end thing. Eventually, she's going to bring the other one, but it doesn't matter. She can eat kodshim now after having brought for the first one, even though there are four more births that follow it. It's fake because it's another matter. It's fake because we said in the mission she only has to bring one, and then she's falter from the rest.
Even a point for it.
Yeah, that's okay.
So you don't have to bring them each one.
That's well for the vadoi. Eventually you do. Eventually you do. But meanwhile she can eat korbanos after bringing the first one. So Rav Yechon Ben Nuri is saying that would only work if she says specifically that this is on behalf of the last one, and Rav Akiva says it doesn't matter. The last vadoi, right? Because when you think about it, Rabbi Yishan, well, that's the Gemara is going to explain what their logic is. Rabbi Akiva says, that doesn't matter whether she says the last one or not. So the Gemara is going to explain what the difference is, why Rabbi Yishan and Nuri and Rabbi Akiva are arguing. By the way, all that is only according to Rashi. You have other Mephoshim who understand, Shetmukubetis brings, for example, that note, she's Potter by Rabbi Yishan and Nuri, in both cases means that she's Potter from the rest. Because maybe Rabbi Yechon Ben Nuri holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, according to the Rambam's understanding of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel anyway, that he holds differently than Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. You don't have to think. Okay. All right. Amalit of Nachmei Sefer Papa, Eimalach Mishmeder Rava, Hani Tanoi B'maitzli. So Rabbi Nachmei Sefer to Papa, I'll explain to you in the name of Rava, that I heard this from Rava, what are these Tanoim arguing about? What's the fundamental machloikas, whether she has to doubt to mention the last one or not? Rabbi Yechon Ben Nuri Medam Elohim Lachat. Rabbi Yechon Ben Nuri compares it to the case where a person has to bring a chatos. Demand a chayav hei chatos. Suppose a person is chayav five chatos, which for five different avedas, so if we're doing the same aveda five times, or we're going to learn in the Masechta as we go along, we're going to have cases where a person does one action and chayav multiple chatos for it, whatever it is. If a person is chayav multiple chatos, the din is ad demaisi kolon. He doesn't have a complete kapara until he brings all of them. The soif machafer lay, and only when he brings the last one, only then is it machafer for him. So the same way, no, we're talking about a person who's chayav a chatas chaylev can eat kodshim. He's not a mechutzer kapara, but he needs. Okay, we have to remember the term mechutzer kapara means somebody who has to bring a chatas, has to bring an oila and a chatas, whatever, in order to be able to eat kodshim. We're going to learn that at the beginning of the next class. But then you have a case of a person who's done an avera, he's eaten chaylev, he's broken Shabbos, what have you. He has to bring a chatas. Until he does, he has not had his kapara. The word mechoser kapara is not used for him, because the word mechoser kapara has a specific technical meaning. However, the fact of the matter is, he needs kapara. And when does he get his kapara? When he brings all the hatoris that he has to.
But can he eat kodshim?
Yes, he can eat kodshim. Yeah, because he's... Only a mechoser kiporet is barred from eating kachrin. He's not a mechoser kiporet.
He
doesn't have kapara for his aveda, but he's not a mechoser kiporet.
Why is a woman who doesn't bring her birth is mechoser kiporet and she cannot?
Because that's what the Torah says. The Torah says there's that concept that a woman who gave birth, or a zava, you have four cases, as we're going to learn at the beginning of the next parak, there were four cases where until a person brings certain karbanos, they can't eat kachrin. It means their tahara is a multi-step process. They have a point in their tahara where they're able to eat mice, they're shani. They have a point in their tahara where they're able to eat truma. And then they have a point when they're able to eat kodshim, and that would be when they bring their purpose.
Whereas this guy who
ate salif or what have you, he has to bring a chafas. Until he does, he doesn't have a kapara. But meanwhile, yeah, he can eat kodshim. Okay. So the point is, Rabbi Yechon Manuri would say like this. Suppose a person has to bring five kaparas for Averis. When does he have his full kapara? When he brings the last one. Hachinami lo yishnas, but it says the same thing over here. So let's say, for example, fine, here we're not talking about Averis. But let's say, for example, so suppose she brought the korban and said, this is for the first birth that I had. Okay, but then eventually she gave birth again. And when she gave birth again, she was barred from eating kachrin. And then a third time, and then a fourth time. So therefore, Rabbi Yechon Manuri is saying, only if she says that this is on behalf of the last one, which is the last thing that prevented her from eating kachrin, then she can go back to eating kachrin. But not if she says any of the earlier.
That's not to say.
Yeah. But Rabbi Akiva Madami Lohan Lutvilin, whereas Rabbi Akiva compares it to the case of a person toveling. Suppose a person became tamei many times, and the mandam chayev hatevilah. Suppose you have a person who's chayev to tovel multiple times because he became tamei multiple times, let's say. And we're going to have examples, by the way. We're going to have examples in Nida where a woman has certain status about when she had bleeding and when not, and she has to tovel many, many times. We're going to learn about such a case in the second Nida, but it's a shame. Anyway. So suppose a person is chayev to tovel five times, given to tovel chodah zimna. Once he tovel just one time, doesn't matter even whether he says which tumah it's for. So he became tumah with he became tumah from a sheretz on Sunday and from shechlat zera on Monday and from touching kalim shenogu b'mes. So no, that tumah mes is something else. It means or whatever kalim shenogu b'mes, whatever some other ava tumah on Tuesday. Yeah, whatever. Okay, but the point is whatever. He tovels one time. He doesn't say which one he's toveling for, but it covers all of them. So the same thing about Kiva says here, it's the same thing. Doesn't matter which birth she says, whether it's the first birth or the last one. Okay. Papa, but Rav Papa says, I don't like that explanation. If you're going to tell me that Rav Yechon Manuri is comparing it to a... He says, Rav Papa is saying to Rav Nachman Mayitzchok, who just gave this explanation. If you think that Rav Yechon Manuri is comparing it to a chatas, well then, amai shol sofik toimah alachas man v'tiftar. Then why would we say, in the case of the sofik, why would he say it doesn't matter whether she mentions the first one or the second one or what have you, and either way she's under, consider, if you're comparing it to a chatas, what's the equivalent of bringing a chatas to oifal asafik? As we said, the equivalent of that is bringing an asham tolui. So suppose you have a person who's high of five asham tsuyin, ki maisi chad, if he only brings one of them, mi mifter, is he potter from the other ones? V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, which we're going to have later on, zahakval, kol shechalukin b'chatois, chalukin b'ashamit. Whenever you have a case where a person has to bring multiple chatois, then if they have a suffix on that, they have to bring multiple asham tolus. And you don't say he brings one, he's potter from the rest. And asham tolus is brought for a suffix. Chakas ha'oif, in this case, is also brought for a suffix. Why, if you're telling me Rabbi Yechon Manuri is making this, drawing an analogy over here, then here also she should have to say that I'm bringing it for the last suffix ziva or the last suffix later.
No.
The answer is Ella, no. So the answer is like this. Dekulei alma l'tvilis medam elohim. No, we're going to say like this. Both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yechon Manuri are comparing the situation to tvilah. And therefore, if you've told me multiple times, but you tovel one time, it covers everything. However, the argument between them is, are we concerned about carelessness? Namely, Rabbi Yechon Manuri sava chashin l'pshia, Rabbi Akiva sava loy chashin l'pshia. What kind of carelessness? So Rashi says like this. If you don't, Rabbi Yechon Manuri would say, if you don't make her say that I'm bringing this for the last one, she's going to think that I'm potter with that one and I don't have to bring the rest. So it's one, so now we understand the difference between Vada and Sofik. It's one thing with Sofik. She taka doesn't have to bring the other ones. Therefore, it doesn't matter which one she says. Either way, there's no pshia to worry about. But in the case of the Vadai, where, as the Mishnah said, she does eventually have to bring all of them, so Mela, if we tell her, say that this is for the last one, then she's going to understand, okay, I still have four previous births before that eventually I need to bring Karbanos for. But on the other hand, if she doesn't say that, so she thinks I'm bringing it on behalf of the first one or the second one or what have you, she's apt to think that I don't need to bring any of the other ones at all. And that would be a problem. So Rabbi Yochanan, he says, therefore you have to do that. Rabbi Akiva is not... So therefore she has to be fair to say that it's for the last one. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that. Rabbi Akiva is not worried about Shia. So therefore, according to him, it doesn't matter which one she says. Okay, then Rashi brings another explanation that Shia would be, that Rashi brings from Ezra Beim, that Shia would be that she might get careless and not bring even one korban, and then she's going to eat korbanos, and then kodshim, and then she's going to be chayav kares. Rashi doesn't like that explanation. Rashi prefers the first explanation. There's a note in Rashi that says over there that the Pshia we're concerned about is that what happens, let's say she gives birth and she figures I don't need to bring a korban. She says, look, last year I had 5 outstanding births, and I 4 of them I didn't need to bring a korban for, so now I don't need to bring a korban. Whereas Rabbi Akiva would say, we're not worried about that kind of mistake.
That she's going to think that some of her
births didn't require korbanos, and therefore that she should be positive. So Rabbi Akiva is not worried about that. So therefore he says it doesn't matter which one she says. Hadron alach shloshim
bishlam.
So to summarize then, so we're saying that if she has a bunch of vadei ladis, we're saying she does have to bring separate korbanos for each one. The other ones, and if she brings only one of them, then she is able to eat kodshim at that point. However, she has to make up the other ones later. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, not, but we said, is that a temporary enactment of Rav Shimon Gamliel, or does he actually hold differently? Anyway, we say, Rav Yechanan Nuri would say she still has to mention the last one specifically, otherwise it doesn't work, and Rabbi Akiva says it doesn't matter. In the case of a suffix, everybody agrees she's not higher than the other ones. She just has to bring the one. She's not higher than the other ones. Therefore, both Rabbi Yechanan Nuri and Rabbi Akiva would agree that it doesn't matter whether she says, I'm bringing this for the last one or for any of the previous ones. Okay.
But she does
have to bring one, because if she doesn't bring the one, she can't eat kodshim. Well, no. If it's only spekas, if she has vadoim, then fine, she brings for the vadoim. But if she has a bunch of spekas, if she has one or more spekas, she still has to bring the korban in order to be able to eat kodshim. She has to bring one, right. Okay. Mishnah says, continuing on the topic of chatois for mechutzrei kapara, eventually we're going to get back to the main subject of our mesechta, which is chatois that a person brings for averus. But as I mentioned at the beginning of the mesechta, you have to kind of think of this, even though the mesechta is called krisus, you kind of have to think of it as the mesechta of chatos and osham, because that's mostly what it talks about. Okay.
Krisus
means the plural of kartos, as we started mentioning, the 36 cases where a person is chayav kartos. There are 4 cases of mechutzrei kapara where they have to bring a chatas, not because they did an aveira per se, but because they need the chatas in order to be allowed to eat kodshim. Then there are 4 cases, which we're going to talk about in the next Mishnah, about where a person is bringing a chatas, whether they did the aveira deliberately or mistakenly. Now, most chatoris are not like that. Most chatoris for averus are not like that. Person ate chaleb, for example, b'mezid, they're not bringing a korban. Person broke Shabbos b'mezid, they're not bringing a korban. But there's a chatos I'm talking about. But there are 4 cases, which we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, where even though it was b'mezid, they're still bringing a chatos.
Which
we're going to see. That's the next Mishnah.
But if you do something about b'mezid, what do they do?
The other ones have to do tshuva, that's all. I mean, they have to do tshuva, and I mean, the person broke Shabbos b'mezid. If there was 8 in Basra, they get skila, and if not, then there's kares. And in the case when a person is chayav kares, the Gemara mentions in Yoma, a person did something that makes them chayav kares, they need tshuva that starts suspending their punishment. Yom Kippur also, together with that, when Yom Kippur comes, it's partially mechaper for them and suspends their punishment. They still need yisurim to clean out. The Rebbe mentions it at the beginning of a geras tshuva. They still need yisurim to clean up the avera, and then altogether that's mechaper for them. Tshuva v'yemekapurim toilin, v'yisurim mechaper. Tshuva v'yemekapurim toilin, v'yisurim mechaper. That's how the Gemara says it in Yoma. That's for chayav kares. Yeah. Yisurim, physical suffering. With that said, by the way, we did learn in Erchin that sometimes there can be minor yisurim that can be machaper for a person to a certain extent also. We said if a person sticks his hand into his pocket to meaning to take out 3 coins and he took out only 2. Yeah.
Right. So the creases we're talking about, if it's the low
So in some cases, we said at the beginning of the Masechta, in some cases, the maximum penalty for certain things is Nisas Beis Din. Shabbos, Avodah Zorah, some of the Arayas, and so forth. Then you have some where the maximum penalty is Koris. There is no Nisas Beis Din, even if there was Eidim Vasarok. For example, eating Chametz on Pesach, eating Chalev, some of the Arayas, etc. Even if there were Eidim Vasarok, there's no Nisas Beis Din involved. The maximum penalty is Koris.
They could have true that. Okay.
Right. Okay.
That's because?
That's how the Torah doesn't list it. I don't know. Okay. Okay, so our Mishnah is going to list the four Mechusri Kapara, and the next one is going to list the four cases where a person brings a korban even though they did B'mezi, which is unusual because usually only bring korban for a shaykh. The Eloi Mechusri Kapara, so the following are the Mechusri Kapara, which again, let's remember what that means. It means that they can't eat Kodshim and they can't enter the Bet Mikdash until they bring their korbanis. Hazov, v'hazova, they've reached a certain stage in their tahara, but now they need the final stage of their korbanos. Hazov v'hazova v'hayoledes v'hametzora. A male zov, a female zov, a woman who gave birth, and a metzora. Rabbi Yezman Yaakov says there's actually two more. Ger mechusa kapara ad sheyizrik ol avadam. A ger is considered to be a mechusa kapara until they sprinkle the blood of his korban on his behalf. And we'll see in the Gemara why the Chachamim don't include the ger in that. And Nazir Lejene Vitiklachta Vitumase. And he says there's a sixth one. A Nazir is considered Mechusa Kapara in the sense that until he brings his Karbanas, he's not allowed to drink wine, he's not allowed to shave his hair, and he's not allowed to become Tameh. Because the Ger has to bring a Karban before he's. That's, we're going to talk about that in the Gemara.
He can walk into Mitzvahs.
Well, the Nazir can. The Ger is not right. So the Gemara is still talking. My Shna Zov Vizova, the money behind the trend. Now, why is it that we're counting Zav and Zava separately in our Mishnah? The reason must be because there's a distinction in how they become Tomei. Namely, the Zav le Mekameh ba'Onis, the Zav le Mekameh b'Ri'is k'v'yom. There's a Kula in a Zav over a Zava, and there's a certain other Kula in a Zava over a Zav. A Zav has a Kula, which the Gemara is going to spell out. A Zav is a male, yeah. A Zav is a female. So a Zav has a Kula that he does not become Tomei as a Zav if it was Ba'oines, if the Ziva came because of some external factor, as opposed to a Zava does. The Zava, let me tell you, Berius Kibiyam. A Zava, on the other hand, has a Kula that even if she has multiple flows of blood on the same day, they don't count as separate flows. They don't make her a Zava Gdola, as opposed to a male Zav, they do. She becomes Tomei only if she has it 3 days in succession, if she considered a Zavag Zerla. So like this, what do we mean? One second. Titania. So we learn in a braisa like this. The Pasuk says regarding a male Zav, Mibisorei, the Pasuk describes that he has an emission of Zivus, Mibisorei, from his flesh, and their flesh, Rashi points out, is also sometimes a euphemism for the male organ. So only when it comes from the koyach of his male organ, and because of his yeter, implying v'loy machnas oinsay, but not if he had an emission of ziva because of oinsay. So the Mishnah in Zavim mentions like this. It explains like this. The first time a person has an emission of ziva, it doesn't really matter whether it was ba'onis or whatever. He's considered to be only he's considered only to have the degree of tumah of a balkeri. He has to go to the mikveh and he has to wait till the evening. He has to wait till nightfall and then he's tahor. If he has a second emission on the same day or the next day, then we have to check. The Mishnah mentions over there. We have to check for seven possible factors that may have caused him to have an emission of ziva. You have to check, for example, if he. The second emission doctor. You have to check, for example, did he overeat? That could cause it. Did he drink too much? Did he have hear-her? For example, you know, he saw animals mating, for example, and that got him excited. He jumped. He carried a heavy burden or whatever. Those seven different things that the Mishnah mentions, they have to check. If any of those things happen, and afterwards he had an emission, the second emission, then it doesn't count. He's still only considered a balkan.
That's the onus?
That's what we mean by onus. On the other hand, with a zava, it's not like that. A Zava has an emission of blood during the 11 days of Ziva. It doesn't matter whether it was Ba'onis or what have you. It doesn't matter whether it was natural or because of some external factor or whatever. Either way, she's talking.
Ziva means by man or by woman, it means blood?
No. So by a man, that's what we're going to mention soon, actually. By a man, it's an off-white discharge. It's similar to shechvat zera, but it's a bit of a different color and a bit of a different consistency. In the case of a woman, it's blood.
Gonorrhea.
Not necessarily gonorrhea. That's more pussy, but whatever. Okay, maybe. All right. Anyway. Okay. Again, a zav, because the pasuk says midisaroi, that means v'loy machnas einsoi. On the other hand, umitame bereis kibiyamim. On the other hand, a zav can become tame as a zav when he has multiple emissions on the same day, as if it was on different days. So, in other words, with a man. If he had, for example, it doesn't even have to be separate emissions, actually, you have Mishayas and Zavim that describe, if he had one long emission, long enough because time, that there would have been time during that time to go and tovel and dry off, which is considered to be the amount of time it takes to walk 50 amos, then it's considered as two separate emissions. But whatever, the point is, without getting into that detail, the point is, he had one at 6 o'clock in the morning, and another one at 7, and another one at 8. Presto, he's a Zav, he's a full-fledged Zav, he has to have the 7 clean days and bring a korban. As opposed to with a woman, it's not like that. If she has, during the 11 days of Zivos, if she has multiple discharges of blood on one day, nothing happens. She's considered a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. She's called a Zav Akana. She needs one clean day the next day, and then she can go to the mikveh and that's that. So for a Zav, that's the point. So you have a Kula in a Zav over a Zav as far as the matter of Oynes, but you have a Chumra as far as Re'ias versus days, right? The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Tola HaKotim as a Zav Re'ias, the Pasuk makes the Tuma of a Zav depend on the number of emissions that he had. That's on a Keva B'Yom. With a woman, it depends on the number of successive days on which she had emissions. On the other hand, the zava matama ba'onis v'lo matama b'ri'is kibiyamim. A zava is the other way around. She has the chumra that she becomes tomei ba'onis, but she doesn't become tomei with ri'is kibiyamim. Again, she had multiple discharges on the same day, then she's only a zava k'tana, not a zava gdola. Whereas a man would, if he had a man, it's just the opposite. He isn't matame as a zava ba'onis, but he can be matame with multiple ri'is on the same day. So you can say, therefore, the Mishnah is mentioning Zav and Zava as separate categories in Mechutzer Kapara, because the way that they come to be Tomei is completely different. The question is, the Gemara asks, Mitzora or Mitzorah Nami Chaluka Tumosan. We should ask, in that case, a male Mitzora and a female Mitzora also have an important difference in their Tuma, in what happens during the period of their Tuma. First of all, the Mitzora Toren Prio Prima, a Mitzora has to, a male Mitzora has to let his hair grow long, that's called Priya, or Prima, and he has to tear his clothing like an oval. Yichsiv, because the Pasuk says, God of you, Prumim, Baroshi, Yiparua. The Pasuk says his clothes should be torn and his head should be left to grow long.
Why?
That's because the Pasuk says, because he's like an oval. And also, because he's like an oval, because he's in mourning, so the fact that he has Tzaraas and is separated from everybody. But also B'tashmash Amidda, also a male Mitzora is also to have relations with his wife. It's not so obvious. Why is it so obvious? His wife could still come out outside the city and visit him, and he'd be able to know.
But she gets
to
know.
You have a lesser degree of tumor if you touch a Mitzora. It's not, she doesn't have the tumor of a Mitzora herself. On the other hand, a female, a woman who becomes a Mitzora does not have to grow her hair long, does not have to tear her clothes. And we know that, Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, the Braisa starts out with this, Ainli Ela Ish. Now you have the Pesukim mention over there, the Pesuk by Negoim mentions the word Ish. Ish, the Pesuk starts mentioning that if an Ish has Tzaraas. So Ainli Ela, and the Pesuk says you have to be outside the city, etc. Ainli Ela Ish, so you would only know that applies to a man. Ish Aminayin, how do we know that those didn't apply to a woman? Well, true Oima, Vahatzarua, since the Pesuk says, and the one who has Tzaraas, Harei Kan Shnayim, that means the person who has Tzaraas, whether it's a man or a woman. So that's the point. No, it means, in other words, it's generic. It means the one who has Tzaraas, whether male or female. Yeah. On the other hand, in Kain Matama Lemi Ish, so then why does the Pasuk say the word Ish over there? Ish Tzaruahu Tomehu is the expression of the Pasuk. The reason is, Nitkaya Kosim Me'inyan Shamayla Le'inyan Shamata. The Pasuk is taking away the word Ish and applying it not to the previous pasuk, which says that they're tomei, because that applies equally well to a man or a woman, but rather to the next pasuk, which says that the person who has tzaraas has to tear their clothes and let their hair grow long.
So
like this, you have two pasukim back to back like this. Ish tzaruahu tomehu, tamei itam enu akoyin. Then the next pasuk continues, v'hatzaruah shabayanega, God of you prove. So we're saying like this. The word ish, you would think, makes it apply only to a man. But no, the second pasuk, since it begins with v'hatharuah, means it applies to both men and women. So what is the word ish? The word ish is coming. We're taking it from the first pasuk and applying it to the dinim in the second pasuk. Namely, the second pasuk mentions about the tailoring the clothes and growing the hair long. Loima ish pareya o parim vein ish, a parasa paremis. So from that we learn only a man has to tear his clothes and grow his hair long, and a woman does not.
How can you say that a nish applies to a man and to a woman?
You don't. You say the word ish applies only to a man. The word basarua applies both to men. Yeah. Okay. And how do we know that a woman is muteres b'tash mishandita? Shenema, because the pasuk says later on during the stages of tahara of a mitzvah, it mentions it says pasuk says yoshav mechutz la'ole shivat yamim. There comes a point. So you have he has the initial thing with the birds at the beginning of parashas Masorah with the birds and the cedar and so forth. And then afterwards he shaves and then the yoshav mechutz la'ole shivat yamim. He should sit outside his tent for 7 days, which the Gemara explains in a number of places in Barakot and in other places means that ole means his wife. So it means he's not allowed to have relations with his wife for those 7 days. On the other hand, v'loy mechutz la'ole. But it doesn't say that she is barred from her tent, meaning that if the woman is in the teras, she's allowed to have relations with her husband during those 7 days. So you see, there's big differences. So therefore, the Mishnah should count. The Mishnah shouldn't just say mitzvah. It should say a male mitzvah and a female mitzvah.
Because
it's a big difference. The answer is there's a difference. Zav v'zava ikar tumas and chalukah. When it comes to a Zav and a Zava, the fundamental way in which they become Tomei is different, as we said before, because you have the Oinus versus the Yomim. So therefore they count as two. And the Rambam adds, not only that, the Rambam adds in Sefer HaMitzvot, that what the Gemara means, Ikar Tumos and Chalukah, means in addition, as we said before, with there's different discharges, B'chol, a male, a Zav, it's an off-white discharge, and a woman, it's a discharge of blood. In fact, therefore, the Rambam counts them as two separate mitzvahs. And so the Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvahs, why am I counting the dinim of a Zav and the dinim of a Zava as two separate mitzvahs? Because the Gemara is saying here, they're completely different from beginning to end. So it's true as far as the actual tumah, they have the same degree of tumah, but how they become tumah, the actual type of discharge and when it comes and how it comes and whatever are completely different. Therefore, the Mishnah counts them separately. When it comes to a mitzvah and a mitzvah, the fundamental way in which they become tumah is no different. Either way, as long as they have a spot of tzaraf on their skin, the size of a gris, then they're tumah. A gris is a certain bean. It's officially the size of the area on the body in which 36 hairs would grow, 6 by 6. Whatever, you have different... Whatever, that's the definition of it. No, that's the definition of it. Well, it's the pashtus, the average hair on the body.
Skin hair,
pashtus. But there you have different opinions among poskim what it is, because negeya as far as the dinim of nidah, when we learn the sect of nidah versus Hashem, we're going to talk about a gris also. So you have different poskim. For example, you have the Alter Rebbe holds that it's approximately the size of a dime. You have actually a couple of different understandings within what the Alter Rebbe says, because Alter Rebbe compares it to the size of a certain Russian coin, and that coin itself changed in size at different times. But as far as I know, the consensus is that the Alter Rebbe considers it to be about the size of a dime. There are other posts who say it's about the size of a penny, whatever. Anyway, fine. All right. Yeah, that's the point. You have other posts that are more maple. Okay, fine. So anyway, the point, whatever, that's different opinions. You ask your own. Okay, so the point is that therefore, so a mitzvah is basically the same whether it's a man or a woman, whereas a zav and a zava are completely different, and therefore the Mishnah lists them like that. Okay. Then he said, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov oimer ger mechutzah v'chulah, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, we have a fifth and a sixth mechutzah kipurim. The fifth one he lists is the ger, who hasn't brought his carbon yet. So the question is, the Tanakama, my time, Elechani ger. Why doesn't the Tanakama mention a ger? The fact is, everybody agrees that a ger has to bring a carbon. The answer is ki katoni. The reason is because the Mishnah is only listing midam the mishui lemecha b'kodshim. The Mishnah is only listing those things that make a person mutter to eat kodshim. Now that's the only thing the korban accomplishes is that he can eat kodshim. Midam means anything. The mishui lemecha b'kodshim, which makes it possible for the person to eat kodshim once they bring their korban. Ger. When the ger is bringing this korban, that actually has a broader purpose. Ki kamaisi korban. When he's bringing a korban, that the purpose of that is la'achshuri nafshi l'meo b'kol. That's to make him mutter to even intermarry into the Jewish people. Until he brings his korban, he's not a complete ger. Now, you're going to ask, how do we do it nowadays?
The Gemara is going to bring up, the Gemara is going to bring up that point soon. The Gemara,
yes.
When you have an obvious question like that, you can expect the Gemara to bring it up. So wait. Okay. So the point is, the Tanakhama says, of course I agree with you, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that a ger is to bring a korban. But you're calling him a mechusik kippurim as though the only thing the korban accomplishes is that he can eat kodshim. That's not the only thing the korban accomplishes. The korban accomplishes, it finishes off his ger. So therefore, yeah. And the nozer, my time, Aloy Tony. What about, why doesn't the Tanakhama list the nozer as a mechusik kippurim? Similar reason, soif, because after all, nozer nami ki maisi korban, when a nozer brings his korban, the fundamental purpose of it is not to allow him to eat kodshim. He was allowed to eat kodshim without that anyway. Ki ka maisi korban, what is he bringing the korban for? Leishteruya, the mishta yayin, the chulin, who? It's to make him allowed to be drinking wine of chulin. So it has nothing to do with kodshim. So why are we calling him a mechusik kippurim?
When you say geri for also nisha.
Yeah, geri is saying, yeah, same with Rabbi Eliezer, the Kapani Nazir. Okay, so why does Rabbi Eliezer count the Nazir? Because he says, in that case, Rabbi Eliezer, the Kapani Nazir, the Mishre Napshe. In that case, if you're saying, fine, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov has a more expansive view of a Mechutu Kippurim, and he's counting, therefore, a Nazir, because a Nazir does bring a Karbanus to make a Mutu to do something. Fine, it's not Kodshim per se, but it allows him to do something that he couldn't do before. Well, then, Nisni Nami Nazir Tomei. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov shall list the seventh one. He should say Nazir Tameh, who also, he can't restart his Nazirus until he brings his Karbanus. If he became Tameh, he has to bring his Karbanus. Well, yeah. The answer is, Ki Komaisi Karban, L'meichol Alei Nazirus Patara. Yes, with a Nazir Tameh, eventually it brings him to being able to drink wine and so forth. But there's a whole process. First he has to bring his Karbanus, then he restarts his Nazirus, then when he finally finishes his Nazirus, then he brings his Karbanus, then he can drink wine. Right now, when he's bringing his Karbanus, it's only to make him restart his Nazirus Patara. So even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is not going to call that a Mechusik Kippurim. Even by the most expansive definition of Mechusik Kippurim, you can't call him that. Mechusik Kippurim, his definition would be where you bring a korban and it makes you mutter to do something that you couldn't do before. Here it's not. Here it's still nozer, right? Okay. So now we're going to talk about the dinim of a ger and the korban of a ger. We learn in a braisa. Ger mu'ukav lecho b'kodshim ad shiyavi kinai. A ger is prevented from eating kodshim until he brings his pair of birds. Kain again means a pair of birds. It means chatas and one. What ma'ukav means prevented, like ma'akav. So ma'ukav lecha v'kodshim is prevented from eating kodshim. Actually, yavikin. Hevi prida achas shachris. If he brought one bird in the morning, so he hasn't brought the other one yet, that's okay. Ochel v'kodshim la'erev. He's able already to eat kodshim that evening. He has to bring the other one, but in other words, the point is, if he brought one in the morning, he can assume that day the Kohen have brought it on the Mizbeach, because they're supposed to. They're supposed to make sure that all birds that were given, all money for birds that was given for them for Karbanos, are taken care of that day.
Sure.
Okay. So then it's good enough. So that Chazaka allows us. We learned in Cholon, a Chazaka is a pretty powerful thing. Okay. Here's a rule. Kola kinin shabatoda echad chatas ve'echad oila. Oh, so I was wrong, actually. It's not a chatas and an oila. Kola kinin shabatoda echad chatas ve'echad oila. In general, whenever the Torah says you have to bring a pair of birds, it's always one chatas and one oila, except over here, can stay an oila. So over here, both of them are oilas. Another day, hevi chevosim in abehem. Because of there, he's not having to bring a chatas. The Torah didn't require him to bring a chatas. The reason why he has to bring an oila, we're going to discuss too. We're going to analyze the sprite, as we usually do. Hevi chevosim in abehem, yosa. If he brings his obligation, instead of bringing birds, if he brought an animal, he brought one single animal, he's also yosa. Oila ushlamim yosa. If he brought animals as an oila or a shlomim, for that matter, he brought one bird as an oila and animals as a shlomim, also yotza, he's also yotza, and it makes him, and it finishes off his gerus. Mincha u shlomim lo yotza, but if he brings a mincha and a shlomim, then he's not yotza. So why do we say that he has to bring two birds, if we're saying he can be yotza with even one animal? Lo yomer kein, ala lahakal, the Braisa says, the reason why he said he can bring two birds is to be makel on him. Two birds cost a lot less than an animal, but if he wants to bring one animal, then yeah, you can know that also works. Okay. Thus far, the Braisa. Now let's analyze it.
The
Mincha, right. So my shnah mincha shlomim b'lo yotza. So why would it be if he brings a mincha and a shlomim, he's not yotza and he still can't eat kachim? The reason must be dichtiv, because the pasuk says kasher tafsu kein yase. The pasuk says in parashas Shlach, as you do, so he should do. The context is over there, it's talking about Nesach and the Korbanos. What we learn from that the way in which the Jewish people became Gerim by Matan Torah is the same procedure that a person has to follow after Matan Torah to become a Ger. Kasher Tasu, just as you Jewish people did at the time, Kein Yaseh, so we have to do. Which means, therefore, Ma Atem Oilo Shlomim, you Jewish people, before Matan Torah, brought an Oilos and brought an Oilo and a Shlomim. We said shlomim and a mincha, we said. Oilo shlomim yotza, we said. So ma'atam oilo shlomim, you Jewish people, it describes at the end of Parashas Mishpatim, when it describes the events right before Matan Torah, it says that Moshe sent the Nare B'nai Yisrael, and they brought oilos and they brought shlomim on behalf of the Jewish people. So you're saying ask ger oilo shlomim, so you're saying ger also has to bring an oilo and a shlomim. Well, in that case, imkein, if so, chayvotei achas mina behema leitiski alei. Then in that case, it shouldn't be enough if he brings one animal as a korban. The pasuk says, as you do, so he should do. So he should have to bring two animals. So the answer is, Amar Papa, yes, Shloima, the answer is, we can say it like this. Lo'oif Israeli, given that we have a ribui, as we're going to say soon, that he's even able to bring a bird, again, how much more so that he should be able to bring one oila and be an oila of an animal and be an animal after all, much bigger than a bird. No, we're going to say soon that he has to bring two, but wait, hold on. The point is, given that we have a ribui that he's able to bring a bird, for sure he should be able to bring an oila behema. So wait, so ihachi after the mincha nami, in that case, why shouldn't he be able to bring a mincha as well? Okay, the answer is mi krokein. After all, the pasuk says. And kasher tassel, kein yasa, that after all, you have to do the same as you and a mincha, is not the same. Okay, so the question is, where do we have a ribui that a ger is able to bring a bird and be yotze? And we said before, after all, that even if he only brings the one bird, he can already eat kodshim, he just has to bring the second bird at some point. So where do we see? The Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa. Again, the pasuk says, kasher tassel, kein yasa. Again, it means, ma atem oilo shlomim, afu oilo shlomim. And in fact, we have another pasuk that says, Kochem Kager. You are like the Ger. In other words, you're both equal. Shit, I'm about to take that out because if we already have some Kasher Tafsu Kenyatta, we don't need the pasuk Kochem Kager. Okay. Minayim Rabbat is the oif. How do we know that a bird is also included? That if a Ger brings a bird, he's also Yaitse? Or actually, Shittim Kobatus changes it to a pasuk va'osa. Well, va'osa ishe reach nechayach Hashem. In that pasuk, it says, okay, the pasuk goes like this: the accurate describes the nesachim that a person has to bring with his korbanos, with his oila, shlomim, most other korbanos, whatever. So the pasuk says, v'chiyogu itchem ger, if a ger lives among you, oya shebesoichem lederesechem, or anyone who's among you in your future generations, va'osa ishe reach nechayach Hashem, and he wants to make a fire offering as a nachas ruach Hashem. Kasher tasu kein yasa, just like you do, he has to do. So therefore, so we see, so the pasuk mentions that he makes an ishe reach nechayach Hashem. No, we're talking about when he's becoming a ger. This is part of, this is we're talking about, the process of him becoming a ger. Because otherwise, what do you have to bring a korban every day because he became a ger? Come on, I mean, the first time he becomes a ger. And so, eizu dover shekulo l'Hashem, so what kind of korban goes completely to Hashem, where the kohenim don't get any part of it, have it omer olas ha'oif. Specifically, it means an olas ha'oif, because with an olas behema, the skin goes to the kohenim. With an olas ha'oif, now it is true that you have from the olas ha'oif, you have the part of it that you have the mura and noita that are taken off and thrown onto the floor near the mizbeach. But the fact is, they're also ba'anah. So in that sense, they're thrown onto the floor near the mizbeach, and a nest would happen, and they get swallowed up into the ground. We don't get mizbeach in the legend. It's more the crop and the stomach and the skin and the feathers above it. Yeah, because Rashi brings on the prophet says birds eat from stolen food, and Hashem doesn't want stolen things on his mizbeach. Whatever. Okay, but the point is, meant as a lesson for us. Okay, the point is that we should realize how much Hashem hates stealing. Anyway, the point is that in that sense, then the bird and olaf goes completely to Hashem. Most of it is burnt on the mizbeach. The parts that are not are thrown on the floor and are also bahana. So the kohenim get no part of it, as opposed to an olaf behemah. They get some part. They get the skin.
Sure.
So therefore, Ishe Reach Nichayach Lashem means an Ola Sois. Well, continues the Brayta. So, yeah, so that's what we said before. Once we have that, it says that you can bring an Olas Ta'os, for sure you can bring an Olas Mehema, which is larger, and then the Yodzim. Okay, Yochol Shani Marba Afilu Mincha. So then continues the Brayta. You would think you can include even a Mincha, even if the Ger brings a Mincha, that should be good enough. No, Kama by Makain, no, because the Pasuk says like this. Because you would think, once you have Ishe Reach Nechayach Lashem, means anything that he brings as a Korban, that is burnt on the Mizbeach. So a Mincha is burnt on the Mizbeach. But since it's just Cain, then it means...
Yeah,
it gives Reach Nechayach, but nevertheless, so actually Tosfos points out, we're not even talking about a regular Mincha over here, where, and by the way, from here on, for most of the Masechta, we have two sets of Tosfos. You have a beginning over here, you have the regular Tosfos on top, and you have Tosfos that were printed in the beginning of one of the printings in the early 1700s on the bottom. Okay, anyway. So, they're both in the Balei HaTosfos, but I guess they're different collections of Tosfos. Anyway, the point is, a Minchas Nesachim we're talking about. A person brings a Minchas Nesachim, the whole thing is burnt and poured on the Mizbeach. So there you have something that's completely burnt on the Mizbeach. So why shouldn't he be? I said, no, because it's Cain, so it has to be similar to what the Jewish people brought by Matan Torah, and by Matan Torah, they would bring a Minchas. So, Tanya Ida. So even though it's completely burnt on the Mizbeach, it's not good. Next. Tanya Idach, we learn in another Braisa, when the Pasuk says, Yase Ishe Reach Nechayach Lashem, about the Ger, Shemeani Kol She'ol Ishim, he would think, as we said in the previous Braisa, that it means anything that goes completely in the fire, Afilo Mincha, so therefore you can even be Yotze with a Mincha. No, Tamal Baim, Kasher Yatasu Ken Yase. So what's specific? Doesn't mean it has to be the same type of Korban, because we said it doesn't necessarily have to be, we said they brought an Ola and a Shlomim, it doesn't have to be both. But Ma Atem Mine Dramim, you Jewish people, before Matan Torah, when you were becoming Gerim, you brought something that involves blood. There, with animals, fine, but the point is they shechted and sprinkled the blood. No, then it wasn't Chatas, it was Oilus and Shlomim. Oilus and Shlomim. Achem Mine Dramim, the same way a Ger has to bring something that involves blood. So that's where we see that a Mincha is excluded. So the question is, E ma atem oilo shlomim atem oilo shlomim. So you would say in that case, the comparison should go the whole way. Just like you brought an oila and shlomim, a ger should have to bring an oila and a shlomim as well. No, tamabayim a kochem kager yia. The pasuk says the ger has to be like you, which means lochem he kashtiv v'lo l'dover acha v'korban eseicha. Means I'm only comparing the ger to you, but not to another matter, namely to your korban. So the ger does not have to bring the exact kind of korbanos that you did, but he has to bring at least the same broad category. It involves domi. So that's where we see. Okay. Rebbe says, kochem means kaveh seichem. The word kochem means that the process that a ger has to go through is like the process that your fathers went through. Ma aveh seichem lo nichnesu lebris ela b'milo t'vila v'asoh asdam. Just like your ancestors entered the covenant of being Jewish people, only they needed mila and t'vila and the sprinkling of blood, as Gemara is going to explain soon where we know all those things. Ahem lo yikonsu lebris ela b'milo t'vila v'asoh asdam. Now, the braisa finishes off. One second. So Shitamok Vesis brings over here from old manuscripts a piece that's missing in the Gemara in front of us over here. That why don't we say they have to bring an Ola and a Shlomim? Because we say they only have to bring something that min domim shakula Ola l'ishim. So that would be only Ola Sa'if. In other words, that we learn that it has to be something, as we said before, something that has to be something that has blood and completely goes on the Mizbeach and there's no heter. The only thing that fits that category is Ola Sa'ot. So then in that case, why does he have to bring two birds? Why not only one? Well, Lahavi Prida Achas Yevsher. So he says, you can't bring only one bird. You never find anywhere in the Torah that a person brings a korban of only one bird. Which the Gemara is going to analyze soon and see what that means exactly. Okay.
Maybe.
Fine. So now let's analyze. We said, first of all, in what we brought a bunch of braises here, one after the other. So in the first braise that we said, Loi Omru Kain Ela Lahokalolov, we said that the reason why we said he has to bring two birds is not to be machmer on him, that therefore if he's bringing animals, it has to be two. It's to be make on him, they can bring birds rather than having to bring animals. So the question is, and you're telling me that it has to have to be two because you only bring one. Veloy, you're telling me you can never bring one bird as a korban. V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa when the pasuk says by an ola sa'oif, vehi kriv boy, he should be makriv it. Ma kamad lema, what do we learn from that? We know already we're talking about bringing the carbon. Lefi shenema batoda behifiv. Since it says by total dubs over there, it says he should be makriv. Shemeani, so we would understand from that. Ha'oimer harei alai olas ha'oif lo yivchus mishnei pridin. Maybe if a person says, I am obligating myself to bring an olas ha'oif, maybe he would have to bring two birds. Tamad lema ve'ikrivoi. Therefore, the pasuk says he is makriv it, meaning after the pridachas. So a person can bring one single bird as a carbon. So what are you telling me that's only possible to bring two? The answer is, choyva mi'olai ashrachon. The answer is, but when it comes to a voluntary korban, sure, you can bring only one. But when it comes when the Torah obligates you to bring birds as a korban, it's always two. Yeah. So the question is, what about for ikah yoledes, the maske ben yona or Torah lachatas? What about, you have the case of a woman who gives birth, she brings a dove or a turtle dove as a chatas, and by itself. The answer is, it's not by itself. Mishum de ikah keves bahado. The pasuk describes, ikah yoledes, when a woman gave birth, she's bringing a korban. If she can afford it, she brings a sheep for an ola, and then she brings a ben yona or a turtle for a chatas. If she can't afford it, then she brings two birds for it, one for an ola, one for a chatas. So you have one bird over there, but it's accompanied by an animal. That's the point. So you never have one bird without anything else. If you bring one bird, it's going to be accompanied by an animal. Either that, or you're bringing two birds. A pair of them is called a cane. It is called, in Gemara terminology, a cane, which literally means a nest.
You mentioned the bird.
Doves and turtle doves. Turtle doves, they're related. They're a species, type of bird. Yeah. Okay. That was much earlier. We said over there that we're only making a hekdesh between the ger, only as far as the Jewish people themselves, not as far as their korbanos. So therefore, you don't have to bring the exact same carbons. Okay. Now, Omar, we said in the Braisa, we said that the Jewish people coming into the Bris had a three-stage process, Mila and Tevila and Arsoas Dalim. So where do we see that? This Shlema Mila, I can understand where we see that they had Mila. Because the Pasuk says, Kimulim Hoyu Kola Omar Yotim. The Pasuk describes that all the Jewish people who left Mitzrayim had a Bris Mila, and that was the first stage in them becoming Hashem's people. So therefore, and in fact, actually, that... In fact, you have even Tosfos points out what about for example you have the Levium, let's say who did Bris Mila in Mitzrayim also long before Hashem chose it. Fine, but they were doing it as a continuation of Avraham's Bris Mila.
No.
So in other words, the point is it still counts towards the Bris. It still counts as the first stage towards the gate. So they were the only ones who regularly did it in Mitzrayim. Right before they left Mitzrayim, the night before they left, the Moshe and Aaron did a mass Bris Mila. No, the Levim voluntarily kept it up.
What was the problem with
the other Yidden in Mitzrayim and they had given up Bris Mila? What?
But the problem with the babies that...
Yeah, the babies that were born had to be mild as soon as they came into Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So that's Mila. Inami mehacha, or we have a different pasuk. You have the famous pasuk in Yechezkel, which we say by Bris Mila, we say in Haggadah, v'ever alayich v'eres mesbeteses v'damayich, I passed over you and I saw you wallowing in your blood, v'oymalach v'damayich chayiv, it says twice, v'oymalach v'damayich chayiv, I said you will live through your blood, which means the blood of the Pesach and the blood of the Mila. So we see they had Mila right before they left Mitzrayim. That's right, twice. Wallowing means like swimming in, yeah, like walking around, yeah. I passed over you. In context, the pasuk is talking about it's a metaphor how like the Jewish people were like a baby abandoned in the field, and a benefactor passes by and sees, even though you're wallowing, even though like you're laying over there and you're crawling around in blood, nevertheless you're still going to live. So here, what it means that Hashem is saying you will live in the source of this blood, the blood of the Pesach and the blood of the Mila. So we know they had Mila. I just said wallowing.
No.
Yeah, it means wallowing. It means like crawling around in, like, yeah. Okay. How soft, though, downtrodden, whatever. How soft, dumb, I mean, we know that there was sprinkling of blood of a korban, because you have in those psukim, in parashas, in Mishpatim. By Yishlachas Nare B'nai Yisrael, it says he sent the young Jewish men, this is the Bechorim, because it's before the Chata Egel, and they brought korbanos. El Tzvila Menolon, where do we know that they tovled? So the reason is, Vayikach Moshe Chatzi Adom Vayizrach Alam, the Pasuk then describes that Moshe took half the blood of the Korbanos and sprinkled it on the people. And we know, as a general rule, the Ein Hazar below Tevila, whenever in the Torah a person is sprinkled to make them Tahor, there's always Tevila beforehand. For example, when a person is sprinkled with Har Adom water. So here also, if Moshe is sprinkling the people, that implies that there was Tevila. We actually have the Gemara in Yevamos, when it talks about in the whole sugya of Geros, mentions it also. The Pasuk says, the chibs simloisim, that they should wash their, meaning tovel, their garments. That Rambam actually brings that as the source for the tevilah, rather than using this ein hazar b'lo tevilah. And the Bach explains what it is the Gemara didn't want to use that as a source, because it's not so clear. The Gemara says they were in Yevamos. Maybe Moshe is telling them to wash their clothes, so it should be clean, l'kavod matan Torah. But once we have over here that ein hazar b'lo tevilah, then already we can understand that b'chibsusim loisim is actually tovelling themselves in their clothes. B'chibsusim loisim means they should wash, meaning they should tovel their clothes. And whenever the Torah says about a person, they should wash, they should tovel their clothes, means themselves and their clothes. It means that they were an avatoma and their clothes became yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So therefore, so that's where we see that there was Mila and Tevila and her thoughts done. Okay. So the question is, well, in that order, yeah. The rule is, you do the milah, you wait until he heals from the milah, then he does the tevilah, and at that point he accepts the mitzvah on himself, and then you have the hasaf dam, and you have the carbon. So, okay, we have to...
They have milah.
They have milah, and then when they're old enough, they have tevilah. I mean, when they're... Yeah. Okay. I mean, sometimes you have, even little kids, they can do tevilah, yeah. Okay, so we'll stop over here because we have to stop for Ma'ariv, and we'll continue tomorrow with the question of what happens with a ger nowadays where there's no korban, and we'll mention also there's a sicha in Chelek Kavav where the Rebbe analyzes the halacha behind that and the deeper meaning behind that there's no korban and yet a person is a ger nowadays.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll discuss that tomorrow. That's the chance.